Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, we are not alone. My name is Leslie Mitchell Clark, and I would like to welcome you once again to Contact, where we will explore together our position in the universe, our relationship with perhaps other beings in the universe, and perhaps our path in this intricate construction that we call reality. And I'm so happy that you're joining me this evening. I'm very, very pleased because we have a marvelous guest who's just about to join us. This evening we're going to be talking to Dr. Georgina Cannon. Now, Dr. Cannon is an author, speaker, and she is also the founder of the Ontario Hypnosis Center, which is a premier teaching institution here in based here in Toronto. Georgina is also a doctor of metaphysical counseling. She is a neurolinguistic practitioner, master, a timeline practitioner, and also a past life and interlife regression therapist, and an accredited instructor for the National Guild of Hypnotists. Now, Dr. Cannon is also a highly regarded author, and two of her well-received books are Return, Past Life Regression and You, and also Discovering the Interlife, Your Journey Between Lifetimes, and they're both perpetual top sellers. I think it was Dr. Cannon's first book, Return, that really caught the eye of Shirley MacLaine, who is of course, the award-winning actress and metaphysician. And if you tune into ShirleyMacLaine.com, which is an excellent and informative website, you'll be able to hear Dr. Georgina Cannon hosting the chat room once a month on that exquisite website. So do check that out, ShirleyMacLaine.com. And for more than 15 years, Dr. Cannon has really been recognized by the media as the source of expertise in the field of hypnotherapy, as well as issues surrounding complementary wellness treatments. Now, Dr. Cannon is also a regular monthly guest on the Hannah Murray Show, and that is broadcast online at rem.fm and is actually based in Spain. Georgina Cannon regularly interfaces with medical and wellness professionals from a wide variety of disciplines and specialties. And, of course, her goal is enhancing knowledge and awareness of hypnosis and, of course, working with the dynamic healing potential of the soul. So Dr. Cannon is obviously an extremely well-regarded individual in the field of hypnotherapy and elsewhere. And this evening, we're going to be talking with her about her work with abductees, experiencers, contactees. In other words, individuals that have a strong feeling that they have had a close encounter of the third, fourth, or fifth kind. That is actual contact with an extraterrestrial personality or being. Now, of course, Dr. Cannon's work extends way beyond those issues, but she has indeed worked with a number of clients who have had these experiences. And we're looking forward very much to speaking with her very shortly. She'll be calling in, and we're going to talk to her about some of her more fascinating encounters or her most fascinating work. Anyway, thank you so much, folks, for tuning into Contact this evening. We are online broadcasting every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. And, of course, in the second half of the show from 9:30 or so on, we are going to be taking calls. And if you'd like to talk to either Dr. Georgina Cannon or myself, Leslie Mitchell Clark, you can do so by dialing 424-220-1861. So that's 424-220-1861. And around about 9:30 or so, we will be taking calls. And I'd like to thank everyone who tuned in last week for part two of our interview with Wes Roberts, who, of course, is a multiple abductee, or rather, he's been experiencing the abduction phenomena since approximately the age of 3. And we heard some extremely fascinating information from him last week. And Wes Roberts will be joining us hopefully next week for a little more talk about his new group that he is founding called Contact Group International. And the objective is, of course, to form a community, a supportive community of abductees, experiencers, to extend knowledge and information. And so that's what he's doing, and we'll be speaking to him further next week. And some future guests coming up on Contact are going to be some more folks that I was able to interface with at the fantastic UFO Festival in Exeter a couple of weeks ago. And during that festival, we were, of course, celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Betty and Barney Hill abduction, which is one of the most famous, notorious examples of a abduction phenomena that was not only credible, but the entire incident was later turned into a film called Interrupted Journey. Well, actually, I don't think they called the film that in the long run. I think they ended up calling it the UFO incident. But, of course, there is a very, very famous book about Betty and Barney Hill's adventure, which is called Interrupted Journey, and that, of course, was written by John G. Fuller. So we'll be talking to Stanton Friedman in the future, next couple weeks. He, of course, is I believe he's an engineer, physicist, also of course, a ufologist, author, and Dr. Friedman will be speaking with us in the next couple of weeks. And we're also going to have Kathleen Marden, who is, in fact, the niece of Betty Hill. And Kathleen is a researcher and scientist and also a ufologist. And we'll be speaking to Richard Dolan, author, and we will also be speaking to the Finns, who are filmmakers who have recently debuted their documentary, their brand new documentary called Strange Septembers, which is the incident at Exeter and also the Hill abduction. So those are some of the folks that are going to be coming up in the next coming weeks. And we are waiting for Dr. Cannon to phone in, which I'm sure she will do presently. I also did want to remind everyone that we're sort of memorializing, or at least mentioning and honoring a couple of really fabulous individuals that have passed over recently. Dr. John G. Mack, who was one of the first recognized psychiatrists, to explore the abduction phenomenon. And of course, Dr. Mack is a Yale professor, or was a Yale professor. And the establishment at Yale did everything they could do to try to discredit Dr. Mack and also basically shut down his research. And they failed miserably, so I'm very happy about that. But he was a tremendous leading light in this entire issue, and he certainly proceeded with compassion and strict scientific method. So Dr. Mack will be much missed. You can certainly Google him. He's the author of several excellent books, and he left us way too soon. And, of course, we've also lost Bud Hopkins during the past 2 weeks, who was another seminal figure in the ufology and the research of the abduction phenomena. And Bud Hopkins, interestingly enough, was not a hypnotherapist. In fact, he worked with a hypnotherapist who was able to put his subjects in trance. And he himself was, in fact, an artist. I believe he was a sculptor or potter or something like that. But Bud Hopkins put a very human, compassionate face on the whole abduction phenomena. And we are, of course, very, very sorry that he has passed away and, again, left us way too soon. But once again, you can Google Bud Hopkins, and you can find footage of him actually participating in the hypnotic regressions of his many subjects. And he's also an author of many, many books. So, all right, we are waiting for Dr. Cannon to call in. which I'm sure she will be doing shortly. And as a matter of fact, while we are waiting for Dr. Cannon to call in, I'm going to go ahead and pick up a call here, and I think I know who this might be. Let's see if Hugh is still on the line. We'll try to unmute him. And I'm afraid he's not here right at the moment. So we will, in fact, be talking to you a little bit later on. And all right, while we're waiting for Dr. Cannon, maybe I'll just tell you folks a little bit about myself. I believe this is the fourth week of our show, Contact. And my name is Leslie Mitchell Clark, and I am a licensed hypnotherapist, and I'm also a psychiatric technician, and I have been working with not only abductees and experiencers, but a wide variety of other folks. I also have a special certification in metaphysical therapy, so I do past life regressions as well, and have done an awful lot of work in that. In fact, I did a past life regression workshop last week at a yoga studio here in Toronto, and that was quite fascinating. We had about 11 people, I think, and they took quite a fascinating ride. So that's what I do. And I've always been fascinated with ufology, and in fact had many of my own experiences over the years. I think probably my interest in ufology first began, I'm going to say, when I was probably about 18 years old. And I am an actor as well. I have a theater degree and have worked quite a bit in television and film. And I was working at a summer stock theater in the Black Hills of South Dakota, which, by the way, is one of the number one areas in the world for UFO sightings. I think there is some very strong geophysical. I think there's some very strong geophysical issues as to why there is so much UFO phenomena there, but it's a very odd kind of plesiosoic feeling part of the world. Anyway, I was there doing summer stock, which is theater, and while I was in the company at the Black Hills Playhouse, I met a young lady who was also an actor, singer, dancer, who was working there. And I'm not going to mention her name because I wouldn't want to. I happen to know that she is still, you know, very much alive, and I wouldn't want to compromise her her in any sort of way. But anyway, I met this very talented young lady, and I could tell immediately that there was something unusual about her, something extra about her. And she, in fact, was very, very psychic. And, it was just something about her nature. It was obvious to me, at any rate. And as we became good friends, she mentioned to me on one occasion that she was part of a top secret U.S. government program to study telepathic communication between human beings and extraterrestrials. And I think in this case, we may have been talking about the Greys or Zeta Reticulites. I don't think we were talking about very highly evolved species, but I think that was the situation. So she, in fact, was an employee of the government and worked in the now legendary Area 51, and along with a panel of other psychics, she was there communicating with extraterrestrial beings. I don't know if it was a lab situation. It certainly seems that way from her descriptions. And so this young lady did this for a number of years and was very successful at it. And there came a time when she no longer wanted to participate in the program. And it was kind of like the mafia or gangs. You know, it was very hard for her to get out once she was in. And during this summer, where I was, you know, working as an actress with this young lady, I saw many, many UFOs. many craft, and she told me that she was basically, they were trying to get her attention, to get her back into the program, and she was trying to ignore the beings. We would go into town, which was the local town was Custer, South Dakota, which is, invokes everything that you might think about Custer, South Dakota. So we would drive into town, and we would be followed by beings, rather craft with rotating lights that seemed to defy natural laws of physics. They would follow us into town. They would follow us out of town. And in fact, one afternoon I did see a large classic black limo pull up in front of her living quarters, and two men, I assume they were men, got out of the vehicle and walked into the young lady's living quarters, and I was viewing from across the way. Now the gentleman that got out of the vehicle, when I say, you know, when I say they were gentlemen or humans, I mean, I'm not quite sure about that, because there was something a little strange about these guys. For one thing, their pants were very short. They were wearing black suits, but the pants were just a little too short, like a few inches above the ankle, so it was a very strange look. They were wearing fedoras, as you know, gentlemen probably haven't worn since the 1950s. So they were wearing strange fedoras, black suits in the middle of summer, and their pants were high waters. So they walked into the young lady's cabin, and I guess had some dialogue with her, and then left. And she later confided to me that they were in fact the infamous men in black that you read about. And she conveyed to me that these men in black were, in fact, extraterrestrial beings who were assuming a human form for a short period of time. So, you know, this was all a bit heady for me, and yet I completely believed this young lady. I had seen evidence in the form of, you know, sightings of craft. She had complete credibility as far as I was concerned, and it was quite a fascinating summer. So that was my first experience, rather with direct experience with these matters. Now, I also think from working in past life regressions as a hypnotherapist that it's really my belief that not only are we being visited by multiple extraterrestrial cultures, but also that we are kind of in the same soul pool with these enlightened beings. Some of them are enlightened, and that we can in fact incarnate into different physical forms on different planets. And it's not unusual. It doesn't happen too often, but every once in a while when I'm doing a past life regression, I will regress someone and they will be able to recount a life on another planet. So there you go. All right, I'm going to try and see if our call-in is available yet. Waiting for somebody to call in. We're also waiting for Dr. Cannon, who has not called in as of yet. And I'm going to just play the little contact theme here for a moment, and I'm going to try and find out what's going on. By the way, if you would like to call in and speak with either myself or Dr. Georgina Cannon a bit later on, please do so. You can call into 424-220-1861. That's 424-220-1861. And I'm going to get right back to you in just a few moments. And although Dr. Cannon isn't on the air yet, I'm very pleased to speak with anyone out there and to take calls. So sit tight, and I'll be right back with you. Thank you. All right, folks, I'm sorry once again for the delay. We're still waiting for Dr. Cannon to log in. And if you'd just be patient with me for a few more moments, I'm going to just play the hypno theme here for you for a moment, the Lightwork Hypnosis Contact theme. And we're going to try to reach Dr. Cannon at home. And, of course, please, if you'd like to call in and chat with either myself or Dr. Cannon momentarily, please do give me a call. You can reach us here at contact at 424-220-1861. And I would love to hear about your personal experiences. If there's anybody out there who feels that they have missing time or have had some type of extraterrestrial encounter, or just if you have maybe the feeling you do, or a question about if you have these feelings, how should you proceed? You know, I'm very, very anxious to hear from you and chat with you. And let's see if there's anybody here online yet. Nope. Okay, a bunch of sleepy people. And that's perfectly all right. You know, further to the story I was telling you earlier about my first experience with possibly an extraterrestrial event or series of events. That same summer, I also had a very strange experience. I was sleeping again in my cabin at this summer theater, and of course, this is the situation that where I had been working with a young lady who had been telling me these marvelous stories about how she'd been working for the government in communication with the extraterrestrial beings. At any rate, I'll hold on just one moment. I'll be right back with you to complete that story in just one sec. Sit tight. Alrighty. So as I was saying, I was sleeping one night, and I was awakened, but although I was awake, I was unable to move my body in any kind of way. It was a kind of a paralysis type of thing. I could open my eyes, and I remember being aware of a vibration or a low-level sound, like a 10-cycle sound. I wouldn't say it was the sound of a motor. It was more like a low-level vibratory sound. Just I could perceive it. I almost felt like my whole body was vibrating. And then after that, I don't really remember anything. But the next morning, and I'm sure we're all adults out there, so I can say this, the next morning when I got up and I went to the washroom, I had extremely painful urination and passed some blood. So it's now my feeling in retrospect. In fact, I didn't recall this for many, many years. I only recently remembered this incident, but I do feel like I did have some type of encounter, and maybe I'm going to have to talk to Dr. Cannon about that, see if she can put me in trance and we can figure it out. Actually, I'm going to see if maybe she is here. Let me check that out. And we'll try to... Dr. Cannon, is that you?
Yes, it is I.
Oh, my goodness. How lovely to hear your voice. How are you this evening?
I'm fine. I apologize. I fell asleep.
Oh, well, you know, there's no need to apologize for that. That's
well, I was telling you, I was watching the Emmys and I fell asleep.
Oh boy, that says a lot about the Emmys this year, right? Yeah. Who was hosting the Emmys this year?
What's her name? The woman who plays the coach on Glee. I forget her name.
Oh God, Jane.
Yeah. Jane.
Oh, isn't
Jane
that terrible?
Yeah.
Jane, tall Jane.
Tall Jane. Yeah, but it was so bad, I fell asleep. I do apologize. My goodness.
Not to worry. Not to worry. Anyway, I was just telling the listeners, I gave them your full bio, so everybody knows how fabulous you are and all about you and all the wonderful things that you've done and are doing. And so I guess what I would like to ask you about, and we've never really discussed this in great detail, is
sure.
when you began practicing as a hypnotherapist, when was the first time that a client came to you with a feeling that perhaps they had missing time or had some type of experience that might be interpreted as a contact of some sort?
Almost right away. It was quite extraordinary because I grew up believing that we are more than we seem. So mm-hmm. nothing ever surprised me. You know, if someone come in and said, you know, I've been seeing fairies at the bottom of my garden, I'd probably say yes, and. so when they came in and they said, something happened to me when I was 4 years old and I've never told anybody, and I think I was taken away in what I now know is a spaceship. Mm-hmm. And then they said, and it's beginning to happen again. I'm beginning to feel that people are visiting me and taking me away, and I want to stop it. I don't like it. I'm frightened. So we did some regression work. We did some hypnosis work and regression work and went back to being 4 years old. And, in fact, that child was taken to, if I remember correctly, it was something like a laboratory. Uh-huh. But they weren't operated on or anything. They were just watched. They were given toys and objects to look at and play with and try to put together. Mm-hmm. And they were watched. They were watched by a whole group of people. And everything they did was sort of documented and noted. Mm. And so they felt that they were like an animal being watched.
Yeah.
And then they were brought back to bed. And he said he tried to tell his mother, but his mother just thought it was a bad dream. And he hadn't said anything since, but now it was starting to happen again. He also said that they were showing up in his bedroom, and sometimes he woke up and there were three or four standing at the foot of his bed. And he got so scared that he scared them away, and he said, "What should I do?" And we talked about that, and we because really nobody needs to come to you unless you allow it.
Right, right.
Yeah. Once you're aware.
I have to agree totally. In fact, in one of the individuals that I've been working with lately, there was even a point of a kind of a point of accountability where, in his experiences, he was taken before, I guess, for lack of a better word, a sort of a council, in a way, and they said to him, you have a choice. You're very special to us, but if you want to continue this work, we will, but it's your choice now.
Yes.
Which I thought was, quite fascinating. And now these, the beings that in the case that we were just discussing that came to you, was your client able to see the beings physically?
He saw them as sort of long shapes of light. Almost not with facial features, but long shapes of light, and that sort of morphed together and sort of just separated and together and separated.
Yeah,
so it was almost like thought forms in a way,
like a projected thought form of some sort. This is also remarkably. We should have chatted about this. This is also remarkably similar to one of my clients as well. When he talks about the beings, that he sees, they are in fact, as you said, comprised of light.
Yes.
Or seem to be able to manipulate light, or they are made of photonic matter. We're not really sure, but they're long and tall.
Yeah.
And can present themselves physically if they desire to, but it's never quite right. Something is always a little off, as far as their proportions or their they're trying to project themselves in a humanoid sense that we can understand, but it always looks a little odd. Some proportion is not quite happening there, or the skin is odd, or
they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Interesting, I had a client last week who did some regression work, and usually they go to a different lifetime or they go to a life between lives. This person went to a totally different plane and planet and took on the form, he said, of a large grasshopper. That's the only way he could explain it. And they communicated purely by thought. And He kept saying the colors and the flora around is so extraordinarily beautiful, but he had to go to other planets, and so when he came to Earth was a big disappointment, and they traveled from this planet where he was to other planets to learn more information. And I said, what do you do with that information? They bring it back. So there's a deepening of an understanding. And every time they come back, the color gets richer and the experience of them all gets richer. So everything that they learn becomes part of everybody.
Wow.
Isn't that
extraordinary? A collective sort of.
Yes. Yeah.
And so
and they hate to leave. They have to go because there's no food. They don't eat. They just it's all energy. So they literally thrive on the energy that they bring back from other places.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah.
In your opinion, I mean, do you feel that? I know I was just discussing earlier. I think there are a number of extraterrestrial cultures that.
Yes.
That have visited us and are visiting us, starting back with possibly, you know, the very seeds of our own beings, possibly the work of Alexander Sitchin, where you know, beings from our own solar system, the 10th planet from Nibiru, came here initially, and we're the result of a genetic experiment of some sort. Do you feel that the beings that come here and visit and sometimes, you know, take individuals, do you feel that they are in our dimension, in a sense, or that they are extra-dimensional beings primarily, or are able to slip between dimensions?
I think they slip between dimensions. I think we, in addition to space, we have time-space. This is my belief. We have not only physical space, but time-space. So we have space in the terms of miles or thousands and millions and trillions of miles, but we also have time space, which we're only now beginning to understand.
Indeed.
And my personal belief system is that that's what ghosts are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, when we have visions, that's where we go. I mean, there are people, and I've had clients that I'm sure you have too, who actually feel themselves, they're driving, and they feel themselves veering off a road or going over a bridge, or when we've had a conversation and we know we've said it before, or when
yes.
I say something to you, didn't we say this exact same thing yesterday? This is time travel. This is between dimensions of time. Yeah.
Well, time is not linear. I mean, we got into a big discussion about this last week with one of our folks who called in. Time is not linear. It's an agreement. I think it's an agreement that we make so that we can actually make progress and show up on time and accomplish, you know, activities.
Yeah,
otherwise,
it would order.
Yeah, it has to be. There has to be some, but it is in fact just an illusion only.
Yes. Yes,
it's,
which is why we can stop it. I mean, I don't know if you've ever done that. When you're running late, you just sort of look at the clock in your car and you think, no. I know it says I have less than 3 minutes, but really it takes me 15, so let me use that time to get there and be on time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, time is plastic and subjective. That is certainly true.
Yes.
In fact, one of my, one of the individuals I'm working with who has been having contact and experiences since the age of 3, roughly, he was mentioning to me that he was returned from, you know, a visit with the beings, and he remembers being in his bed in the early morning and looking at the clock, his own, you know, literal clock, turning with the dials turning wildly quickly. In other words, time had actually been fooled with.
Right.
And I think when he was just coming back into his body, you know, it's still in the process of being reoriented to our agreement of time.
Right, right.
But he was looking at the clock, and it was just going crazy, spinning madly, until finally it settled down, and the time was, you know, what he perceived it to be. So.
Right, right. Well, we know what happens
now,
in boring meetings. It crawls.
Absolutely.
Oh, Lordy, has it only been 2 minutes since the last time
I
looked
know.
At the clock?
It can be excruciating, can it? Well, in moments of great, you know, I think very often, haven't you often heard somebody say when they've been through some type of a traumatic experience, like a robbery or you know, something that's just with energy and fear and all these things,
mm-hmm.
they say, well, it felt like, I know it was only a minute, but it
mm-hmm.
felt like it was, you know, an hour.
Forever.
Because
yeah.
of the intensity
yeah.
of the experience, the levels of the experience.
And we know time is speeding up now, so.
Yeah. That's it. Well, it certainly feels like that, doesn't it? I don't think
yes.
it's, I don't think that's my imagination. Everybody seems
no.
to be sort of saying the same thing.
Yes. No, it's not. No, it's not. Time is, in fact, speeding up. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you, yes. now, from the individuals that you've been working with who have
mm-hmm.
Had these types of experiences, do you have you been able to get any kind of a fix on what's in store for us in the future? Have you been getting, you know, benevolent or benign messages? Or
what I've been getting very strongly is that we are moving from the third to the fourth dimension,
mm-hmm.
vibration point of view, and
yes.
what we're moving into is what we make. So, in my book, I talk about heaven and hell on earth, and we make our own heaven and hell. And what they're
oh, yeah.
saying, in fact, is that that's even more real.
Uh-huh.
We're going to manifest faster. We're going to, you know, what we think about, we really are going to bring about. So we have to be very careful about what
mm-hmm.
we think and what we plan and how we treat each other and how we treat ourselves. And it will be all about intent and thought, but much faster and much
mm-hmm.
more profound. So if we are working as a sense of community, then we will move into that realm. If we're working with dissidents, then we will be separate. And when, you know, when
yes.
we're separate, we don't survive.
Right. And of course, fear and negative emotions are certainly the kinds of things that could inhibit this this moving to another vibratory level.
Yes, indeed, yeah. And I think once you really understand that, you know, we're going to be where we are, literally all is now, as we talked about before,
mm-hmm.
the time. So you might as well make the most of it. You know, if we're here temporarily, which we know we are, because there are other places to go and other things to see and other things
yes.
to do, and with the soul's growth, then let's use it. Let's make it really worthwhile. Let's make it vibrant and full and joyful and giving and loving and allowing and, you know,
mm-hmm.
let's get rid of all the judgment. Who cares, really, when it comes right now?
Absolutely. And
yeah.
do you feel that we're in the same sort of soul group with at least some of the beings that that visit us? In other words, that we could incarnate?
Yes.
Well, we discussed this briefly a little bit earlier, but that we could actually incarnate on other planets in a
certainly.
Very humanoid form.
Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. Yeah, and we take on whatever form is needed for the work or for the recognition.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're, for instance, if we are moving into a form where food is needed at that time, then maybe we will turn into the energy that provides food or is food.
Mm-hmm.
If we are turning into a time or a space or a planet where technology is needed, then we will turn into some form where we have the brain power and the wherewithal and the knowledge to do that.
Yes. So what is we will be able to do what is needed.
What is needed.
Essentially.
Because we are pure essence. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it seems that the beings that, at least in this one case, this one individual I'm working with, it seems that the beings are that this gentleman is dealing with are giving him those same types of information that we have just
mm-hmm.
really run down about how, you know, we will be able to manifest, you know, what we conceive. and that it's essential that we pay attention. You know, thoughts are things. It's the message that we've always, you know, gotten, but not quite believed. But I think it's
right.
a little bit like the Seth material. I mean, we are forming reality as we go, and apparently
right.
these particular beings are just a little bit more ahead in the equation, in that they've already transcended. Now they also. So this was a fascinating thing. This same client I've been talking about. He recounted one, actually more than one occasion where he was taken aboard a craft
mm-hmm.
and was lying or floating in some type of material that wasn't liquid and wasn't a gas. It was,
mm-hmm.
I guess, perhaps maybe a vapor, or that's maybe
mm-hmm.
not even the plasma, perhaps would be a closer word.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he was receiving, and one of the beings got into the plasma pool with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, in fact, in a way, being tuned up. So whatever this plasma or vapor seemed to be something that sustains them,
mm-hmm.
maybe in the way that we would think of food, even. I mean,
right.
he was
right.
in the pool
or
and
recharging.
He was touching. Yes, he
it's
was
being
recharging.
Recharged. Yeah, yeah.
And it was a incredibly sort of transcendent experience for him, which he recalled in, you know, exquisite detail.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Mayan calendar, of course, which doesn't really come to an end in 2012. What
no.
it does, it just it's demarcating the beginning of a new era,
yeah.
and the great the Mayans call this new era that we're moving into the time of vapor or plasma. That's
right.
That's the closest translation that we can get to the word that
right.
they use.
Right.
And now, from a scientific standpoint, we know that we are experiencing more and more and more solar activity.
Yes.
We're being bombarded with photons.
Yes.
And the beings that have been talking to my client have said that this is the instigator, and you know, part and parcel of the transition that we as a global society are about to go through, that
right.
this photonic energy is going to be tuning us up in the same way as the pool of
right.
plasma that I just
right.
described.
Jim, I don't know if the name Jim Self means anything to you, but Jim Self has written a book called The Shift, and it's an ebook, and you can download it for free from his website. And it says, you know, a lot of people are saying the same thing but in different language.
Yeah.
And it says virtually the same thing. And he's the one that talks about the dimensions, the fourth and fifth dimension and third dimension, and how we're stuck in the third and what we need to do to get beyond it. But this is the same type of thing that we are manifesting, or we will be manifesting differently. And
yes.
that fifth dimension will be almost purely plasma, in a way.
Oh, yeah.
So
it'll be that.
We'll be in the form that we recognize each other. And,
yeah.
and you know, although I believe this with all my heart and soul, there's a part of me that wonders about the people in Czechoslovakia or the Yugoslavia or the Ukraine or the Sudan or the Congo,
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen to these people who have a totally different reality? Or,
right.
you know, and because we're very North American here. And,
yes.
and we're very, very, we have a very North American-centric point of view of all of this.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I'm confused with that.
I know it's a thing to really ponder about. I think probably that people who are spiritually based are just people who are spiritually based.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean? I kind of think that the personal, you know, the personal evolution of the individual will supersede any kind of culture. But on the other hand, I guess what I'm sort of thinking about is, what about the people that are dogmatically narrow-minded,
mm-hmm.
such as right-wing Karen religious affiliations of any sort, whether they're
yes.
Orthodox
yes.
this or
yes.
I don't want to point a particular finger, but people that have a dogmatic narrow view
who say it's my way only and there is no other way.
Yes. I mean, what will happen to those people? I mean, I would like to think that it would be some magnificent epiphany, but I'm not sure.
Well, maybe they'll go with the way of the people of Atlantis.
Yes. Which a group karma of some sort,
you know.
Of course, we have many, many Atlanteans here right now.
Yes.
Many, 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 many people who had, in fact, there's a huge parallel between the United States and Atlantis,
and
on all kinds of levels. And it's
yes.
almost as if it is a group karma of some sort.
Yes.
Yes.
But apparently Lemuria is?
Lemuria was, or Mu, Lemuria
it's
was also in the Pacific.
In the Pacific.
In the Pacific, and it was older than Atlantis,
yeah.
but
BCG.
Did coexist.
Yeah. yeah.
Did coexist for a time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
when it comes up, where it will be, yeah. Because I think it's going to come up again, I think they're going to rise
yeah.
as our waters rise, and some yes. countries will be flooded and others will come up.
Well,
sure.
the earth changes, we're now seeing there have been an incredible amount of ancient ruins, ancient in the extreme,
mm-hmm.
carbon dated to back before the biblical flood.
Mm-hmm.
They found ruins off the coast of Japan, only like 100 kilometers, an extensive
mm-hmm.
kind of almost like a landing pad or maybe a religious center.
Mm-hmm.
And those ruins in the Pacific would most likely be part of Lemuria. They would be Lemurian, I would assume.
Right.
But also in, as the great Edgar Cayce said, in Bimini and other places, we're beginning. Well, we have the technology, I guess, is what it is. We have sonar and we have the ability to use robotic cameras to search the ocean. So I think more and more and more ancient ruins that defy our limited understanding of the party
right.
line of history are going to, going to be cropping up. And boy, would it not be wonderful if, in fact, as Edgar Cayce predicted, there was a chamber between the paws of the Sphinx, which of course is far older than anyone assumes, that would contain the records of the ancient civilizations that are now gone.
I'm sure, and I'm sure they'll find it. They will find it.
Yeah, I believe that they will.
Yeah,
as
our vibration gets higher, we will be more and more of these things will be uncovered.
Yes. Now, have you had as clients? Have you been among your clients? Have you worked with anyone who has had? And I don't want to dwell on this too much, but more of a negative experience. Possibly something involving the Greys or the Zeta, the Zeta Reticulites, something more aggressive, and perhaps a full-on exam of some sort. Have you had anyone who's? Yeah.
No, I haven't. I've had a client who has visitors of them, and
mm-hmm.
has scared him silly. But no, I haven't. And the interesting
yeah.
thing is that most of my abductees, I would say 90% of them, have been male.
Yes, it seems to be, I would imagine it's, like 6-1 or something. It seems to be predominantly a male phenomenon. I don't quite understand why that would be, but I would have to concur.
Yeah.
I would have to concur. Although I must say that I'm not sure that the highly evolved beings who come here really, really have sexual delineations in the way that we do, and I'm not sure that they even reproduce physically,
right,
in the
right.
way that we do.
Right.
I'm not sure about that at all.
Right. It's just the abductees that I was thinking of that are mostly.
Yes.
Male.
Yes.
Which is really strange in a way. Yeah. Yeah.
It is very.
Maybe they don't want to mess with women.
maybe they have a harder time because men are. Well, I don't want to say anything. But a little, you know, maybe they have an easier time putting men into the trance state that's necessary to get them where they need to go.
Yes.
And you know, and also we talked a good deal about this last week, but I'm not sure that all abductions are physical in the sense of, you know, where the body is actually taken.
Right.
I do think that some of these experiences, or maybe even the majority of these experiences, happen with the etheric body.
Yes, and there's a vague awareness of it, but it's pushed aside because they're not really sure.
Right.
You know?
They're not really sure.
Not really sure. People come, you know, wake up and say, oh, I'm so tired. I don't know. I feel like I've gone for, you know, a 9-mile walk, and they don't know what it is and why they're so tired. Maybe that's it. Who knows?
They've had an experience, but it's an experience where possibly their etheric body has been separated from from the physical body, and one of the stories that I love the most, because I think it illustrates compassion so acutely. One of my clients recounted had suffered from pneumonia several times in his life. It was a chronic thing, and when he was a teenager, he was in hospital and had an experience where the beings took him out of the hospital and took him to what looked like their hospital. You know, again, it looked like a construct, like it was all made out of one material, kind of like the inside of an RV or something, like it had all been formed out of a mold. And they passed their hands, or the doctor, the one that was the doctor, passed his hands through the lung area, just was able to just passed the hands through it and did some kind of stuff, and in fact cured him.
Fabulous.
He was returned to the hospital. He was so I think he might have been delirious. He probably had a high fever. He was so confused that he thought that the beings had been there in his room. He was completely confused about it, but through hypnosis was able to recall it in a you know, much more organized way. He was, in fact, taken and removed and treated and returned.
Fabulous.
And then was miraculously cured.
Yeah, great story. Really,
so
really
he
great
was,
story.
He was important to them, and they came for him, and they told him, they said, you know, and they were reassuring. They said, you know, don't worry. You're going to be all right. It's going to be okay. So they spent a lot of time, you know, calming him down and telling him he was going to be fine and they were going to make him better. And they did.
Where are they when we need them?
I know. Too bad you can't dial them up. I want some room service.
That's right. And do you take OHIP?
They must just be so amused by our little stuff, by our scenario.
Oh,
and,
can you imagine how primitive we seem?
Oh, I can only imagine. You know, I did ask the question when I had one client in trance, the beings that we were discussing. I was very curious as to whether they go through the exercise of reincarnation or if they are more or less in a spirit form. And that's no longer necessary. And that was kind of the answer that I got. I got the impression that they, if they chose to, they could have, you know, they could enter, you know, a fetus and have a physical Terran experience, but it wasn't required.
Okay, so if they chose to, they could incarnate onto Earth, basically is what we're saying here.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Wow.
If they chose, but it wasn't really necessary. And also they let's see, what's the other fascinating, and they were able to freely interact with human beings who had passed onto the spirit plane. That was what I found kind of fascinating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That to them it was just it was almost the same.
Well, it's all spirit.
For them.
It's all energy. Yeah, it's all spirit.
Yeah, it's all energy. It was almost the same, and they really didn't. You know, it was really kind of hard for them to get. You know, the fact that our physical bodies wear out, these dense molecular husks that we walk around in, you know, wear out, but we insist on having them. So,
I wonder. Yeah, we must be so primitive. You know, no wonder they look at us like animals. We must be so primitive.
I know they're doing their best to help, but
yes.
But how can they, you know, to help without inciting fear?
Yeah. Well, I think you and I need to put out a welcome mat.
Yes.
Say something like, "We'll say hello. We'll make you tea, nice soup, whatever. Why don't you come and say hi?"
We will do that, and you make a good cuppa. I can see it right now. We can solve the problems of everything. It just comes in.
I'll let you know tomorrow
hello.
If they come tonight.
Well, Georgina, I want to thank you so much for calling in and chatting with us today on Contact. It's been incredibly informative, and I just want to also thank you for all the amazing work that you're doing, not only with abductees and contactees, but working with people and inciting change and inciting progress and opening people up and really being a light worker.
Well, bless your heart. And again, I apologize for falling asleep in front of the television.
Oh, no worries whatsoever. Well, don't worry. We'll get you on again in the very near future. So thank you so much, Dr. Cannon, for being with us on Contact. And we look forward to having you again real soon.
Thank you. Good night.
All right. Good night. All right, friends. And that was Dr. Georgina Cannon. And I'm afraid it looks like we're just about out of time. I don't know if we're going to have time to take any calls. I actually only see one, and oops, they're gone. So thank you very much for tuning into Contact. We will be here next Sunday evening with another guest, and we will invite you to call in. We're going to be discussing Contact Group International, and we look forward to being with you in future Sunday evenings. And as always, if you want to call in and talk to us, 424-220-1861. Good night, everybody, and have a fabulous week. And remember, we are not alone.